mom volunteered you again, you know.
Yep.
My wife found a thing on the news. It's called a bark box. Anybody know the bark box? It's for your dog. You order them. Every month a new bark box arrives. And in the bark box there's treats and squeaky toys and little letters to your dog and all kinds of stuff. But every month we get a bark box. And the dog is really excited. I get sort of excited about our bark box, and we know that Noah is equally excited today. So we're just really glad for you guys being here. But let me just read the gospel, and then we'll see kind of what Noah has come, what his reflections are. And this is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and said, "Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decides to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor who was brought before him owed him a huge sum. And since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife and children and all of his property in payment for the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me. I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him, started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay me back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back his debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what was happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgive your brothers and sisters from your hearts." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. What you got there, bud?
Box.
You got a box. What's in the box?
Nothing. I just came up with just be treated how you want to be treated.
So treat others the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good to have in the box. So treat others the way you want to be treated. You know, the little thing that I just read, 70 times 7, you know, what's that about?
Like, no matter what they do, you should always forgive them.
Yeah, exactly. 7, and there's a couple different ways of looking at this, and I don't know which one is the right way, but so you guys can pick. But 7 is considered to be the perfect number. I don't know why. 7 sacraments, right? The whole thing's 7. So what Peter was saying is, should you forgive people perfectly? That's one of the ways in understanding the number 7. And Jesus says, 70 times 7. So even beyond perfectly. That's one way. The other way of understanding this is 7 times 70 is... Attaboy. 490. I love people that are good at math. 490. Why is that number significant? Well, that just happens to be the number of years that Israel spent in exile in Babylon, starting around the year 587 BC. Right around in there. So they spent 490 years in exile. They were taken out of Israel. They were put into captivity. And they languished there. This is where you get the whole thing about King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and the lion's den. They're in captivity in that point. So is it that we're, you know, the one hand we remember that we need to forgive perfectly, or is it Jesus reminding people that, you know, you were held in captivity, you were in bondage, and you were in bondage because of your sin? So when you have that level of debt and you come before the Lord, you've got to be aware of not only what other people have done to me, but what I have done to them. And it's probably a little bit of both in there with the numbers. So when we think about this whole forgiveness thing, there's two ways of thinking about it. One is what we have done to other people, and also what they have done to us. Has anybody ever made you guys mad, ever hurt you, and you got really mad at them, and you really wanted to, like, punch them? Probably not Joey, but... maybe Alex. Maybe Randy. Oh, yeah. The longer you live, the more people you want to punch, right? And you know what? They might well deserve a good punch. So, you know, when we read the gospel, we're challenged to forgive other people that have offended against us. Some of you may well be versant in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you look at Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous or Emotions Anonymous or Gamblers Anonymous, they all have the same 12 steps put together by Dr. Bob Smith and Bill Wilson in about 1935. And the fourth step is you do a fearless and searching moral inventory. What that means is you look at your own life. Then the fifth step is you are willing to make amends to those people that you have harmed, as long as making those amends doesn't do them further harm. So we have these two discussions going on of forgiveness. In the gospel, we're told to forgive people that have offended us. In the 12 steps, we're told to make amends and go to them and ask their forgiveness. See, there's the two points of that. If I borrowed $5 from you, would you want me to pay it back? Probably. Now, if I borrowed that $5, could I forgive that debt? Could I say, oh, well, I borrowed $5 from you, but that's okay. I don't really owe you that debt anymore. Probably wouldn't work, would it? The only one that can forgive the debt is the person that the debt's owed to. So, you know, one of these guys can say, I forgive your debt. That's what we have in the gospel today. I forgive your debt. Only the one that is offended can do that. But only the one who is the offender can make that right. There's two sides to the coin. Many of us, there's a recent thing that has gone on politically, where President Trump pardoned a guy by the name of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And everyone was like, eh, it's a bad deal, or it's a good deal, or, you know, back and forth. You see, the pardon didn't say that Sheriff Joe didn't do what he said that he was doing. He did it. The pardon says, we forgive you. We are not going to hold you accountable for what you deserve. We're not going to do to you as you deserve. Now, the other side of that, hopefully, it's not just a get-out-of-jail-free card, but hopefully Sheriff Joe would do the right thing by, you know, making amends to all the people that he had unjustly arrested. But that's a whole different story, right? Whether or not he does that, that's up to him. So there's two sides to this. If somebody owes me a debt, I'm the only one that can forgive that debt. If I owe someone a debt and they forgive me, that still does not take away from me the obligation in justice to make it right. In the original Hebrew, the word, I think, is like M-E-L-I-C-H-A-L, Mikhaila, Maklik, Mikhaila, something like that. What that has to do is it goes back to a root that has to do with cycle. That when we are sinned against, or we are offended, or whether we offend against somebody else, there's a cycle. And it's reestablishing that cycle insofar as we are able, that there's a mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual cycle that we want to try to reestablish. That puts us back in balance insofar as we are able to do that. Now, a couple weeks ago, I talked about different emotional states that really throw us off that cycle. There's guilt and shame. And I think forgiveness helps us reestablish that balance. Because when we choose to forgive, when we choose not to forgive somebody who has broken our hearts, it's like we, and you've heard this before, we drink poison and we want the other person to die. Nah, ain't gonna work. We want to reestablish that balance. And forgiveness, ultimately, if I am forgiving that debt, is all about making my life better. It's ultimately not about the other person. They may or may not make restitution. They may or may not do what is right. They may or may not even know that they have hurt you or offended you. But if you continue to carry that, it keeps you distant. How many of you in your life have your heart broken by your spouse? And maybe you end up getting divorced because of that. And you say to yourself, I'm not going to trust another person as long as I live. And you harbor that grudge against them. And maybe there are people or opportunities that come up that you could be in relationship with, but because you have harbored this grudge, you're not going to trust them. You're not going to trust somebody to come close to you. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to let anybody get that close to me again. And it might be a spouse, it might be a friend, it might be a coworker, it might be a child, it might be a parent. And you hold that anger and that grudge like a clenched fist. You know, if you go ahead and you clench your fist, and you hold it like this, you guys, right up here in front, do that. Make a fist, Zoe. Hard, hard, tighter. Is it tight? Tighter, tighter. Now let go. What feels better? This one or this one? Alex, what feels better?
This one.
This one. Sometimes in our hearts, we're like this. And we're angry. And that stays with us. Guilt and shame. fear and anxiety, isolation and loneliness, helplessness and hopelessness, and anger and resentment. Those are emotional states that really drive us away from ourselves, from God, and from other people. We feel guilt and shame around things that we've done. We feel anger and resentment about things that have been done to us. We feel anxiety and fear because we don't know where to go. As a result, we're then isolated and lonely, and we feel helpless and hopeless to make any changes, and we just stay in this rut. All of those can begin to be addressed in a simple act of forgiveness. And forgiving other people doesn't mean that you are not saying that the injustice was true. Because ultimately, you know, it isn't about them. Because there's two sides. One is your side. You forgive the debt. That's what we have here in the gospel. That the debtor owed the debt. And the master just said, okay, we're good. Didn't mean he didn't owe the debt. Just meant he wasn't going to collect on it. Now that debtor had a responsibility. That's what he got in trouble for. The responsibility was to act justly from that point on. Didn't do it. It's all about the heart. And Noah was right in having a box that said, you know, you've got to forgive. You've got to treat other people the way you want to be treated. But you know, if it were easy, everybody would do it. Yeah. I was in seventh grade. I don't know why this is so absurd. I was in seventh grade. A guy by the name of Chester Rolesky borrowed a nickel to get an ice cream. It's 1962. A friend of mine in our hometown said that he saw in the obituaries about 6 months ago that Chester died. Said, the rotten SOB died without giving me my nickel back. What? Isn't that silly? Isn't that one of the most ridiculous things you could ever think of in your entire life? But how often have we done that? That the small things that we harbor and hold in our hearts, we lose sight of the phenomenal things that we have been given, the things that we have been forgiven, the times when people have overlooked my shortcomings and failings, and I don't even know what those are. Well, I think that as Christians, we are not necessarily, and I know people are going to bring up scripture that says I'm wrong, but I don't know, I don't think we're called to perfection. We're called to making progress. I know I'm called to be perfect like my Heavenly Father is perfect. But that's progress. That's be patient with me because the Lord's not done yet. We've seen that bumper sticker. So that's kind of where we're going. But today when you come to the altar, bring those people who have broken your heart. If at all possible, leave them here. Doesn't mean that they really messed up and really hurt you. Yeah, they did. But just leave them here. There's no point in you carrying them anymore. I always say to the folks I work with, Don't let them live rent-free in your head or your heart. Let them go. Let them go here. And then also, ask forgiveness for the people that you have harmed. And leave your own heart here to be healed. Because this is all about healing. This gospel is all about healing. And restoring that cycle of life. Restoring that cycle of life. Have I missed anything? You guys? What do you think? You're good? May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon us and remain forever. Amen.